Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball. Rugby.
Probably feels like the season just finished on a real sour note for them. Hopefully they can be, you know, a little bit kind of longer term in terms of their analysis and be a little bit more objective in that respect. Yeah, it hurt a lot of guys big time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The News Round on Off The Ball. This is News Talk.
Welcome along. It is Thursday evening's Off The Ball. It is Will with you. We are warming up for semi-final weekend in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. We'll be sitting down with two former Hurlers of the Year over the next couple of hours. Shane O'Donnell is with us at 7:30 about why he wants head hits to be ruled out in hurling. He also wants to tell us why he feels the league is a complete and utter waste of time, and also why he's made the decision to hang up his intercounty boots at the end of this season. Richie Hogan with us after 8 o'clock live. He's going to be talking about both of the semi-finals this weekend and where they're going to be won and lost at Croke Park. England off to the Azteca in the early hours of Monday morning. Harry Kane moving on to 13 World Cup goals with a double as Thomas Tuchel's side limped past Congo last night. Henry Winter is going to be joining us from Atlanta on the football show to discuss whether those 60 years of hurt could be coming to an end. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on the Habsburg derby between Austria and Spain at the World Cup as well. Delighted to say, John Duggan is here with us. How are you, John?
Evening.
There's real Spurs feel about it because we've got Eve Conway here as well. How are you, Eve?
I'm all good. How are you?
Not Eve Higgins as she was a couple of weeks ago.
No.
When I had to double take at my TV and go, Adrian, what are you doing? Irish rugby star Eve Higgins is not with us. It is Eve.
No, I didn't want to assume her identity either.
No, and I did like that you didn't play along and you didn't decide to just go, look, I'm just not going to say anything. Much more senior member of staff. It's just call me the wrong name. I'll just go with it.
Oh, well.
You're correct.
You know, he's gone now anyway, so I don't have to like face him in the office and be like, oh, did I, you know, was I disrespectful? It's fine.
Yeah. Rumours is whether you were the one who got rid of him entirely.
I'm not commenting on that.
Fair enough. F1 pod is out for this week, isn't it?
It is. We recorded it yesterday with Chris Medland.
Okay, very good. Good guest. Yourself and Kira, obviously, John. The F1 season's getting into an interesting point of the year now, isn't it?
It is, because you're in the summer swing, where it felt like at the beginning of the season there was loads of gaps between races, especially with the cancellation of the two races in the Middle East because of the conflict there. Whereas now we've had, I think, 4 races in 5 weeks. So it's kind of coming thick and fast.
Yeah, especially after that mini break. JD obviously is the voice of Off The Ball here on the weekend. Claire Hurling supporter as well. We'll hear from Shane O'Donnell in a few minutes just before the interview played at 7:30 at Metman Croke Park earlier today. Perhaps no great surprise, because a lot of these players are on the last dance. He didn't want people using the word last dance when I was talking to him earlier.
Okay.
But in reality, there is 5 or 6 of them in their 30s now.
Well, I think Tony Kelly, as he's maybe, to paraphrase this, will be carried out, he will wants to go until the end, Tony Kelly. But I think with Shane O'Donnell, John Conlon, probably the feeling is, Will, that this will be the last year. And obviously Shane has confirmed that it is the last year. In 2013, funny enough, they played Limerick in the semi-final. And he came on in the 71st minute, when Clare were about to beat Limerick by 7 points and would go on to win the All-Ireland. And then, as we know, sometimes the greats arrive. Brian O'Driscoll, you can think of, right? Hat-trick against France, 2000. Boris Becker, 17 years of age. Martina Hingis, 16 years of age, both winning Wimbledon. Walter Swinburne winning the Derby on Shergar. And Shane O'Donnell, like all the greats in sport, arrived. Davy Fitz says, you're playing hat-trick in the first half. He's a beetle. He's a superstar, overnight superstar. And to then come back in 2024 after concussion, serious injuries along the way, and win Hurler of the Year was a beautiful, might not be over, but it was a beautiful footnote to a degree to his career, and Clare winning the All-Ireland. They've only won five All-Irelands, 1914, 1995, 1997, 2013 and 2024. He's been involved in 40% of their All-Ireland victories. Hard for Clare, as much as they've done well at underage level over the last 20 years, winning the under-20 this year, well, as you know. But they're a county that has always been in the shadow of, I would call, the aristocrats of the game. Cork, Tipperary and Kilkenny and Limerick now have become the generational team in recent years. So I just love the way he plays the game. Absolute nightmare for defender, you'd imagine, because when he gets the ball, the physicality, the twisting and the turning, the ability to control the slitter and the ability as well to just go for the juggler. And there has been key moments in that semi-final against Kilkenny a couple of years ago. He played with an injury in that final against Cork, was key when Clare were under the cosh and helping getting them back in with a goal, and has always come across as a decent guy, very intelligent, as we know, working in science and everything. So I'm really looking forward to hearing your chat with him later.
Yeah, I know, he's a great guy. I mean, Fulbright scholar at Harvard and an All-Ireland winner within quick succession is incredible, and then adds a second All-Ireland on top of that as well. So he's not planning to go to space. This always seems to continue to come up, because a few years ago he said, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to be the first Irishman to go to the moon. But I think he was saying that half in jest at the time, and it's followed him ever since. And I think he said it came up in four interviews earlier today in Croke Park. So he was quite happy by the time I got around and went, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you about space. So I think he was happy we didn't get to that point when we chatted. But I think it was no great secret he was going to go at the end of the year. He definitely mentioned at the tail end of the last calendar year that his intention was for he and his partner to travel to Australia next year. I think he'd put this off once or twice. And 2024, I think a lot of those Clare hurlers, we John Conlon on the show this time last year as well, he said it was very difficult to walk away after winning the championship in 24, not to give it a go in 25. Some who thought about retirement in 25 didn't want their last game to be a group stage game in Munster, so they stayed around for one more year. So we shall see what they bring to the party at the weekend. They're very much outsiders going into that game against Limerick. And like, I guess, John, the reason they're probably outsiders is based on their round robin game, which is a month and a bit ago now at this stage. It can be difficult enough to read too much into a game that happened in the group stage when a semi comes round.
Another thing I think why he's probably content to sail wherever he needs to sail is that Errigal O'Guinness, his club, did win a Clare title for the first time since 1990 last year. That was a big thing. They were decimated by Limerick in that match in Ennis. And watching the Dublin game closely, Clare were in and out. They didn't produce a 70-minute performance. Dublin got back into it, and then Clare just weathered the storm in the second half. Defensively, there's been issues all season, really, with injuries. Is Dave McInerney going to be fit, for example, for this one? And it just feels that Limerick, whether it's a bit like Dublin in 2023, there's a sense of, to use their phrase, the last dance about it. Carolyn Curdpack coming back in. And Limerick are gunning for this All-Ireland because of the pain of five in a row and then the shock defeat to Dublin last year. Just feels that they have everything in their locker. And Clare, to me, need a much better defensive performance, because the way I feel, having been at those Clare-Limerick games, say between 2022 and 2024, Clare almost peaked in that 2024 All-Ireland. All the hard work and all those painful defeats in great Munster finals actually stood to them. They might be a little bit coming down in the graph, whereas I think Limerick are coming up in the graph.
Okay. If you want to get your comments in, anything from Shane O'Donnell to England to anything else in your mind, maybe Wimbledon across the last few days as well. WhatsApp number is 087-918-180. And of course, if you're watching us on YouTube at the moment, which you can do free every evening at 7 p.m, why not leave us a comment there? It's fair to say you've decided not to go against England in this World Cup. I suppose, given your family, your mum is English, isn't
she? My mum is English, she is.
That's perfectly understandable for you to go, I will wish them well in the Three Lions' pursuit towards the World Cup title. What did you make of yesterday's performance?
I think for the first half, it felt eerily reminiscent of those Ghana and Panama performances, which were a very hard watch. And you could tell almost at the beginning of the second half, the comment, I think we were watching on BBC here, so the commentators, I think it was Shearer and Guy Morbury, were already beginning the kind of media, anticipating the media storm. There have to be questions asked about Thomas Tuchel's squad selection. So they were already kind of beginning that element of it. But I mean, I've spent many years watching Harry Kane, as you alluded to earlier, I am a Tottenham fan, and it's still magical to watch him pull out those game-saving performances, and those two goals from him were just spectacular.
Gabby Abano was trying to claim on Talk Sport this morning that Kane was poor outside of the goals.
That is, incorrect, first of all. Because when you watch Harry Kane play for England, and it's the exact same as you watch him play for Tottenham for so long, it's his it's a very different kind of style of playing that you would see at the beginning of his career. I don't think he moves as quickly or as much as he used to. I mean, you'd see him clearing, you know, headers into his own penalty area, like deep into the second half still, but he's right where he needs to be when the ball is at his feet, facing the opposition goalkeeper. And it's nice to see him performing so well. Obviously, he's lifting up a pretty lackluster England team the past few games, but comparing him to Mbappe and Haaland and Messi, who have had so successful standout campaigns so far in this World Cup, it almost felt like he was getting left behind a little in the superstar conversation.
Yeah, well, the other thing as well is if England play two wingers that don't play well, as happened last night, you need Bellingham to be working as number 10 and the wingers to work to provide the ammunition. And the second goal was almost like Harry Kane said, I'm getting the ball edge of the box, John. I'm just going to lash this into the top corner.
Well, he saved their bacon. I think it's interesting that they don't have the squad and they haven't really had the squad to win a World Cup since 1990. When I think back, they'd one of the best players in the world in Gascoigne at the time in that World Cup, maybe just behind Matthijs, and they had Lineker. Mm. In 2018, they ran out of puff against Croatia in the semi-final. They had no midfield. 2022, they got done by France in the quarterfinals. England have to go now and win at altitude against Mexico, then beat Brazil or Norway. Then they got to go probably beat Argentina or Colombia, and then they got to go beat potentially France or Spain or Portugal in a final. USA. So, or Belgium. Can't see it happening. The squad strength obviously is not there. And you can see that at right back. You can see with the goalkeeper making an error yesterday. And there's only so many times you can pull it out. And the inconsistency, that it was hard to break down Ghana, hard to break down Panama, which they eventually did. You just, like, when you just look at the facts here, England cannot cope even without, if they lost Kane, it's over. I mean, it's probably over already. But if France lost Mbappe, which could be the swaying thing about winning, you still think they'd have enough attacking talent to be very competitive.
Well, if Dembele, they've got Elise in Barcola. Generational form. It's, yeah, and they've creativity all around the team.
Do they?
Yeah, like the reality is that England's wingers are very cold at the moment. Zaha has clearly gone not fit. And Rashford didn't do a whole lot. Gordon got two assists, I know, when he came on, but he didn't play well in some of the other games. So none of their wingers appear to be in form.
They don't have enough depth in the key positions. I don't think it would matter, Trent Cummins or Palmer or Foden. I don't think these players actually would make enough of a difference squad-wise for England to win this tournament. Because the narrative in the media is Tuchel's come in as a hard gun, Champions League winning manager, to do the job and win this tournament, but they don't have the raw materials to do it.
I mean, Declan Rice dropping down to play what, right back by the second
half, which could be the best option in ways.
Well, yeah. Do you you mentioned it just there, do you buy into that the altitude in Mexico is going to be a serious issue for these players?
Well, if you listen to past players like Lineker, or even listen to Kevin Doyle there, I think it was on RT television, speaking about playing at altitude, look, he is getting his excuses in early to say that, well, we won't be able to acclimatise. But this is what it's all about. This is what preparation is about. Surely they would have known through the path that they could have got Mexico. So, what, you know, could they have done something differently in their preparation? That's what I'm wondering.
I suppose the thing is, you probably, at least this seems to be a theory, you stay away from altitude for as long as possible.
Okay.
You have to go there so you don't. Like, you either want to go there for a long period of time and acclimatise to it, or you would prefer to go there for as short a period as possible. That's why pretty much all the South American teams, they go to Bolivia. You try and travel to Bolivia as close to the game as you can, and you get out there as quickly as you can afterwards as well. You've got them in the office sweepstakes, I'm reliably told.
England and Sweden, who are gone, yeah.
So you're basically throwing away your England docket already, eh?
I would say so, yes. I think you got France. You got France, Will, didn't you?
I didn't get in it. Unfortunately, Endicall from Breakfast, who ran it, decided to go, we have an even number of people, we'll just give everyone two teams. And I was like, Enda, I was ready to revolute you to enter this competition. So, unfortunately, no sweepstake team for me.
Well, right. I got in there with Argentina and Norway, so I'm really happy.
Two pretty decent teams to get. The other thing about the Azteca, I looked at the record Mexico have.
Yes.
And I appreciate, like, a lot of poor teams they've played over the last 80 games. 3 defeats in 80. In the Azteca, which is just incredible. And it is a cathedral of a stadium. It is where the final should be.
Yes, it should be.
But anyway, 1970, Alf Ramsey brought England to Mexico a month early to prepare for altitude.
Interesting.
So he took the approach that they would be constantly ready for it.
I read Alan Mullery on this year today. He said the heat killed them in the top of the hydration breaks, but they were just killed by the atmosphere in Mexico in 1970.
Interesting. Now, I do appreciate it's a different one if you know you're going to Mexico for the entirety of a tournament.
Yeah.
That's the weird one about this one is, unless you're Iran, where the option is taken out, where you can't be in America, outside of that, you could be going anywhere when you look at your path, West Coast, Middle, Canada, Mexico. It's just a mess.
You just feel watching the Mexican games and watching the games in Mexico, that there is that intensity. Everything is much faster. There's a frenetic nature to these matches, and obviously Mexico haven't conceded a goal yet. And Quiñones is in decent form.
He is. Robin on the WhatsApp, listening to Malahide, you missed the tragic news. Didn't miss this tragic news, but it is weird news. Germany go to Nike after this World Cup. So they've been Adidas forevermore.
I'm devastated about this, by the way.
It's very strange. Especially when, do you see the Celtic? Very reminiscent of the 1994 Germany away kit that's come out.
No, I didn't.
So it's not going to be a kit that Celtic will wear next year, but they brought it out just before the Shells friendly next Tuesday. It's basically Germany's away kit from the 1994 World Cup.
Beautiful.
In the old classic Adidas. And you're like, that just looks fabulous. And Germany's kit at this tournament, I know they didn't do very well in it, but it's very reminiscent of some of the classic kits they had in the early 90s as well.
That kind of Italian 90 Germany kit that they kind of paid homage to and then crashed out on penalties to Paraguay, which deprived us of another kind of at least match or two of seeing this kit.
Yeah. Do you, last quiz question before we get into the actual news. Do you know who the last team were to beat them on penalties in a tournament?
Germany, in any tournament.
Mm-hmm. They've only lost two.
JD will definitely.
JD will know it. Tell us.
Czechoslovakia one, was it the last one?
Correct. 1976. Benenka was the last time. So Panenka's chipped penalty was the last time Germany had lost at a major tournament to the penalty shootout.
Oh, losing to a Panenka is that's bad.
I started a trend. Yeah. You know, but that is what happened. And that is Germany out of the tournament despite their lovely kits. And yes, they will go to Nike from 2027. We're going to kick off with Shane O'Donnell off the news round.
We will. So as you'd said earlier, Shane O'Donnell has announced his retirement from Intercounty Hurling at the end of this season. The 2024 Hurler of the Year won two All-Irelands with Clare and two National Hurling Leagues. He could play his final game for his county this weekend as Clare face Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final. And then speaking to yourself, Will, this afternoon, O'Donnell said that now is the right time for him to move on.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a tough decision, obviously. Number of kind of factors at play, but yeah, look, I think the time has kind of come. It's never going to be as cut as dry as, yeah, definitely going to be, I have to finish. It's never going to be like that. But yeah, I think the balance has kind of tipped over to just it being the right time to move on after this year.
You've been thinking about this for a while, though. Like, I think even after the 2024 final, and we're chatting to you, and you were having a consideration about going back in 25. You've injured your shoulder. You've had a few knee issues this year as well. Was that a factor? Because I know you're talking about going emigrating anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of been, like I said, it's me more balanced trying to just decide, like, is the opportunity cost of continuing to play? At what point does it tip over to be like, I'm kind of putting things too much on hold, or I'm sacrificing kind of not being able to move on to the next kind of stage of things that I want to go on and kind of do. So, yeah, at a certain point, I think it just tips over. And this year, I think it's been clear for me from early stage of the year that I was going to kind of move on after this year. I kind of had the thoughts about it a couple of years ago of like trying to figure out when that moment to be. Then obviously we won in 2024, and that kind of just, yeah, obviously that changes things. But even like if we have the situation where I win this year, like it's just that point has kind of well and truly tipped now. So yeah, it'll be the last couple of days, I will clear.
Yeah, a full 20-minute chat with Shane O'Donnell is coming up in around about 10 minutes' time. There's going to be good attendance to these games. I was looking at the pitch earlier down pitch side. It genuinely looks like a snooker table at the moment.
Right.
A really busy weekend.
Better than the MetLife.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. We see some of these grass pitches that have been rolled out for the World Cup that were put in pretty much just before the tournament. Croke Park is just amazing. But you see all the staff today, and they're tending to every little bit of grass across the pitch.
That's lovely. Well done.
So it looks great. The other thing I noticed today as well is that, you know, the arcs for the football? They've been allowed to not be painted over, so they're not going to be quite as prominent, I think, when you see them this weekend.
Okay.
They'll be back, of course, for the sold-out game between Louth and Mayo next week. I presume Dublin and Kerry will sell out.
Oh, Dublin and Kerry definitely sell out, surely.
And like this weekend, I think they're looking at close to 80,000 Saturday, 60,000 Sunday.
8,205 was the attendance in 1985 when Galway shocked the All-Ireland champions Cork at the All-Ireland semi-final. So that is quite a stir. When you consider the change, there's some bizarre stats about this game, and not they're going to have any relevance probably on Cork against Galway the weekend. Cork haven't beaten Galway in the championship since 2008, yep. And 1975 was the very first time in the history of the GAA that Galway beat Cork in an All Ireland championship match. It took a long time for Galway to do it, but they've come out and they've shocked Cork before. In 1979, Cork were going for four in a row. 85, they just won the All-Ireland Centenary the year before. So there's a history there. It's interesting history, and if you like your kind of historical hurling, the reading about it, which I always found fascinating about the tactics in a completely different game now, but Galway obviously outsiders. But Cork have been, and I'm sure you've been talking about this in the pod, there's a phenomenal movement. And I do think when they do get over the line, whether it's under Ben O'Connor this year or subsequent years, there will be a huge outpouring. in Cork, because it's something you just can't engineer. But in Cork, hurling has become this youth driven movement, I feel.
Yeah, I think weirdly enough, the GAA could do with Cork still being hungry and trying to win titles because the massive crowds they bring to games. I'm sure in a perfect world, they would have them either win and then have an incredible story next year. They don't want Cork to be too successful and then it maybe drops off. But yeah, I mean, when they get into top gear, they're incredible. I still put Limerick just slightly ahead of them, but let's see at the end
of the game. Well, Cork-Limerick as well will be almost the defining game of the last... about 5-6 years of their battles.
Yeah, tune into the power rankings next Tuesday, by the way.
Yes.
To find out whether Limerick or Cork are on top of the Harvey Norman power rankings here on Off the Ball. Meanwhile, World Cup knockouts continuing. I was joking about it being the two Habsburg dynasties against each other with Austria and Spain later, but bring us up to speed on what happened overnight as well.
Yeah, so overnight, Belgium came back from 2-0 down against Senegal to win 3-2 and book their place in the round of 16. Ayuri Tiedemann's penalty in the 125th minute sealed their win, and they'll face the USA for a place in the quarterfinals next week. The USA, of course, progressed after beating Bosnia and Herzegovina by 2-0 in San Francisco last night. And then the only game on this evening is Spain against Austria at 8 p.m. Spain are yet to concede a goal at the World Cup this year, while Austria qualified for the round of 32 with a last-gasp equaliser against Algeria. And then Algeria face Switzerland in the overnight game, and the other overnight game is Portugal against Croatia.
Yeah, one's for the purists if you're going to stay up late on, particularly I think Switzerland versus Algeria. You earn your spotter's hat for the World Cup if you stay up. Have you been set up for the late games, John?
To South Korea against Czechia early doors, and I paid for that. And did last night, though. I mean, with the knockouts, I was steeled myself to be around for the knockouts. I did stay up till 3 a.m. to watch the USA Bosnia. I did stay up as well the other day to watch Colombia Portugal, and the best game I've seen in the tournament so far.
Okay, rewarded for that one at least.
It was like something out of 1982. It was those pure abandon, shots on goal from distance in Miami. A fantastic crowd. It was just pure freedom on the pitch. And just think this evening, I mean, just looking at the Spanish team there, what Pedri and Rodri in the middle, you know, Yamal starts. Oyarzabal has had a good tournament so far, if you consider in the middle game they played. Austria were exposed against Argentina when they met at a higher altitude. If we're going to use that phrase, altitude again, you'd expect Spain, who haven't conceded a goal yet, will progress. But the Ronaldo thing, how that's going to go against Croatia, I'll definitely be watching that at midnight, because it is a real issue now. How liberated would the other Portuguese players be if he wasn't there? And if you're on that side of the fence. Mm-hmm. And this is their careers. This is Bruno Fernandes, the PSG guys, Vitinha, Ruben Diaz. This is it. This is their World Cup. They might not get another chance. And it feels like the Ronaldo show is holding them back. And they're probably lucky that Croatia are not the vintage they were.
Yeah, this is true. I think if they had Andrew Watson and Roberto Martinez, he probably wouldn't be indulging Cristiano at this point. The Nations Championship gets underway at this weekend. I did find it quite funny that in England on ITV, they're showing Tipping Point ahead of the England game against South Africa.
Yes, they are. I mean, I have to respect it in a way.
You do. Well, look, I mean, it's hard to avoid Tipping Point, really. But Matt Williams was saying last night in the show that he's massively looking forward to this. He was a cynic at one point, and now he thinks this is better than just having test series over the summer. But we have the Ireland team to play against Australia.
We do. So Andy Farrell has named his team for Saturday's Nations Championship clash against Australia, which is on in Sydney, but it's 11:10 Irish time here in the morning. His starting 15 is as follows. It's Keenan, Balakoon, Ringrose, McCluskey, Osborne, Sam Prendergast, Gibson-Park, O'Toole, Sheehan, Furlong, McCarthy, Ryan, Keane Prendergast, Van der Fleer and Conan. So Sam Prendergast, who was dropped for the final three games of this year's Six Nations campaign, will start at out half. And Andy Farrell said that Prendergast has earned his place in the team.
And Sam, the way that he's handled the last month is a credit to him in regards to taking responsibility for the shirt and his chance to build through those last few games and finish it off with a top performance in a big game in a final there. So he's once again earned the right to do that.
Right, from one Leinster at half to a returning Leinster at half. Probably the best kept secret or the worst kept secret for quite a while, Joey Carberry is back.
He is, and it's been officially confirmed today that Joey Carberry will return to Leinster. 8 years since he left the province to join Munster. The 30-year-old has spent the last two seasons at Bordeaux Begley winning two Champions Cups.
We obviously have had a change in head coach in the Irish cricket team, with the men's team off the back of that brilliant T20 series win against India.
We have. So it was announced last week that Irish T20 international manager Heinrich Malan will step down from his role, being replaced by Gary Wilson. Now, we were chatting to the T20 international captain, Lorcan Tucker, today on the Word on the Street podcast about his departure. And he said that he's excited to play under Wilson.
We didn't know about it before the series. I think credit to Heinrich. I think he tried to keep it to himself and maybe amongst the coaching staff. I don't think he didn't want to interfere with the playing group and I suppose their preparation and all that. So that was very noble of him. I think it did come as a shock. He played a big part in our team for the last 4 years. He came in 2022 and with the new methods, things we hadn't seen before, a new style of communicating, of directing, of coaching, that he had obviously learnt in South Africa and New Zealand and where he applied his trade before. I think it was very direct and it was something we weren't used to at the time. But I think it forced people to really pay attention to what they were doing, how they were training, how professional they were, and how they're performing, and maybe taking more responsibility and accountability for your own performance. So he was brilliant. I'm sad to see him go, but at the same time, I think Gary's played a big role in our setup. He's a brilliant manager, a brilliant communicator, so I have no doubt he'll do a great job as well.
Yeah, Word in the Street is available now with Eve, Susanna and Rachel talking some cricket on the back of a brilliant weekend for Irish cricket with the women's win at the weekend at the T20 World Cup as well. And it looks like not just John Rahm is coming back for the Irish Open, but it looks like Trump might be coming too.
Yeah, so John Rahm has been confirmed to play at the Irish Open at Doon Beg. The two-time winner has paid all his outstanding fines relating to joining LIV Golf in order to return to the DP World Tour. Rahm must play 5 events in 2026 in order to stay eligible for the Ryder Cup, which takes place, of course, at Adair Manor in Limerick next year. And then US President Donald Trump, in a 4th of July video message to the Irish people, expressed his intention to come over for the September tournament.
Thanks, Eve. I know John is our racing expert here as well. And a 2-time Gold Cup winning jockey, Graham Bradley's passed away.
Yeah, died at the age of 65. Very sad news. Condolences to his family and friends, Will and Eve, and his colleagues in racing. Won the Gold Cup in Bregon in 1983. Rode Ryman Reason to win the Irish Grand National in 1985. A champion hurdle winner. Was associated with Wayward Lad, a really good horse. And then got into the bloodstock sphere. He'd been suffering from dementia. And sad news for anybody who loved jumps racing. They'll remember Graham Bradley passed away.
May you rest in peace, Jetty. May thanks for joining us. Eve will be keeping up to date on the news bulletins across the evening as well. A couple of WhatsApps before we head towards the break. What happens if Sam Prendergast doesn't perform now in the next couple of games? Is his Irish career over? I don't know at this stage would be the answer to that. I mean, obviously Jack Crowley's out injured. He could still be the first choice. Could Harry Byrne come back in? Who knows? Seemed to Prendergast was out in the total cold for Leinster. And now here he is starting for Ireland at the start of this Nations Championship campaign. And Patrick's saying as well, it is a shame to see O'Donnell go, a great hurler. That will be impossible to replace for Clare. Okay, we will be hearing from Shane O'Donnell in a few moments' time, but the news round has been brought to you, of course, with thanks to Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets, they do contain sildenafil. For adult men with erectile dysfunction, the maximum dosage is a 50 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label, buy online at viagraconnect.ie. It is subject to suitability following a consultation with a pharmacist. And now it is time for the cash machine.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.